This week's reading from Whispers from Eternity, Book of Prayer Demands by Paramahansa Yogananda, is number 149, Demand to Set Fire to the Forest of Darkness. I built a fire of devotion in the dark forest of delusion. Alas, the fire only smoldered. Then thou didst come and set the fire to a few of my frailties. That fire quickly spread, consuming the bushes of my prickly desires, my tall, towering vanities, and the thick underbrush of my arrogance. The whole forest of my darkness is blazing, and I behold thee, only thy light shining everywhere. I thank thee, Father, for thy help. Help me thus always. Let me open a path of light for all to follow. I still have Napoli stuck in my head, and I can see us all just sort of skipping la 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 all the way home to God, which is such a beautiful way. You know, there's so much power and depth and serenity in this week's reading. I think this reading from the Gita, so many of us know it and resonate with that line. And if in this thy faint heart fails, bring me thy failure. All of what that does for us, the love, the all-consuming love of Divine Mother. And so there's so much serenity and depth that we'll share as we go along, but it really all is just us skipping home to God, la 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 la, just saying yes all the way home. Because the truth is, the distance between the divine and ourselves, where we're standing in that divine consciousness, it's not real. It's something that we've created. It's an artificial construct that our ego sets in place, because that's the ego's job. That's what it does. And it tells us, here we stand and there's the divine. And we're given this promise that you are the children of God. And we can stand here on a daily basis in the day-to-day grind of life and say, but what does that mean to walk around knowing I'm a child of God, but here I am getting angry and there I am being arrogant? And, you know, we get these constructs in our mind because the human heart loves with conditions. The ego teaches us to love with condition. And so to take a step out of that and say, what does it mean to be loved unconditionally, to bring everything that you are to the divine? It's a little bit scary, and it can be something that we don't always trust. And that's why the beauty of this, you know, when I was reading the reading a few times this week and just sitting with it, I kept skipping over the title. And then just yesterday I came back to the title. You know, I wanted to jump right into what was being said, the meat of the lesson that we're here to learn. But the title, To Each According to His Faith, how true that is. Every step we take on the spiritual path, it comes back to how much faith we have, how faithful we can be. And not in the sense of, are we worshiping enough? Are we good enough? Am I doing everything that a good yogi, a good disciple is supposed to be on the outside? But how much faith do I have in those moments when I do slip and fall? That the divine is going to be right there to pick me up? Because again, it's an artificial construct that we are anywhere but right there in Divine Mother's arms, being held, being loved. And just as Swami Kriyananda tells us in this reading, there's a magnetism to that artificial reality, to that emotional construct that we place on ourselves. And we think that in order to be worthy of God's love, I must be perfect. I must be good. In order for me, Lakshmi, to stand up here with all of you today, I have to be the perfect yogi. Because if I'm not, then what am I here to share? What do I have to say? That's what the conditions of the ego heart, the ego's heart. That's the conditions, not the ego's heart. The ego doesn't have a heart. Well, that's not true. But to live in the heart means something different. But that's the condition of what the ego teaches us. That in order to be loved, I must be good enough. In order to be successful at work, to do good, to be honored at work, I must be the perfect salesman. I must be the perfect teacher, whatever the job is. In order to be loved by my partner, I must always be the perfect partner. What does that really mean? What does perfection look like? It doesn't mean anything. And so I can stand up here in front of all of you today and say, just yesterday, I got angry. I got upset. I went over to my friend. I said something I shouldn't have said, and I unloaded all of my anger on her. Then I walked away, and I came back a few minutes later, and I said, I'm really sorry. That wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that. I wasn't even angry at her. I was just choosing her to unload it on. And we talked about it, and she said, that's okay. It happens. And then we moved on. And I wanted to sit in it for a few more minutes, and I wanted to wallow in it a little bit and say, come on, you know better, you should be better. But then I remembered this reading that I've been very blessed to sit with all week long. That's just the construct, that we're allowed to come back, that we're allowed to say, I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that we just get to sit back and say, oh, well, it's all God anyway. We have to keep working, which is why the power of this week's affirmation is so beautiful. I was putting the bookmark in this morning for this week's affirmation, and I was flipping through, and just a few weeks ago, we had the affirmation of willpower. And so I stopped on willpower because I had just glanced quickly and saw will and put the bookmark in. And then I thought, oh, wait, no, it's not willpower, it's willingness. And I was just sitting with that while Saganesh was reading this week's affirmation, and the subtle semantical difference between willpower and willingness. There's a relaxation in willingness. Willpower is our force and our effort, and it's a tool that we need on the path. But willingness is an open-hearted invitation to relax into who we are. Just yesterday, I was listening to a talk that a friend from my work at Menlo Atherton High School had sent me. We send each other little spiritual quotes and little videos, and she'd sent me a video, just a 10-minute clip from a talk that Ram Dass, the American spiritual teacher, had sent. And the title of the talk was, How Do We Learn to Love Ourselves? And in this talk, it was so beautiful. He was really speaking to so much of what we're sharing today. It was like a little gift from Divine Mother to say, hey, Lakshmi, listen to this. You know, just randomly, my friend sent it to me. And in this, Ram Dass is talking about what it means to accept ourselves, what it means to look at bridging that gap between where we're standing and where the divine is, and how that, you know, again, as I said, it's an artificial construct that we place. And he said that, I used to think that in order to embrace my divinity, I needed to deny my humanity. He said, but what I've learned over the years on my spiritual path is that it's actually through acceptance of my humanity, acceptance of all of those foibles that make us just trip up along the path. It's in that acceptance that we're able to embrace our humanity. Because Divine Mother asks us to bring everything to her, not to hold anything back. And whenever we hold something back, we're just feeding energy to it. We're just giving it more and more energy, that judgment, even within ourselves, of those little things that we just want to tuck away and hide and just pretend that everything is just perfect. Why? Divine Mother already loves you unconditionally. She already knows all of it. She sees all of it. I was thinking about, you know, the little joke of, I haven't been in an interview in a very long time. I took my job about 11 years ago and haven't had a job interview since then. But I remember that question that you always get asked, you know, what are your strengths? And then comes, what are your weaknesses? And we practice, well, my weakness is I work just too hard. I'm just I'm always working all the time. Or, you know, I'm just too cooperative. Sometimes I lose sight of myself. And we joke and we trick, you know, I mean, it's a little bit of a laugh, but we all do it into a certain extent. And that's what we want to do with Divine Mother a little bit, right? Here I am. Let me just tuck away all of those little foibles that I don't think look good. But there she is, and she's saying, oh, little one, I don't care. I can see it all already. You're already right here. You're right with me. There's nowhere for you to go. You are already in love. You're already in that state of inner communion with me. There's nowhere for you to go, and there's nowhere for you to hide. It's just us. We think we need to hide, and we think that we need to be good enough. You know, but think about it. It's just like the way the Divine Mother loves us is the little child who brings a picture. I have a 2-year-old niece. And so she doesn't quite draw yet, but she's just starting to make pictures for us. And it's literally just scribbles. You know, my sister hands her a pen and she just does this and then holds it up and says she loves unicorns. She calls them nenes. I also love unicorns. So we have a very sweet connection in that. And so she makes me pictures of nenes, which are just scribbles. And then she shows them to me on FaceTime. And, you know, that's the way that we are with Divine Mother. I don't look at her and say, oh, that's not a nene. There's no context of a horse here at all. No, we celebrate it. It's beautiful. How beautiful this is. How sweet this is. And that's what Divine Mother does with us. When we hold up, I got really angry yesterday. I said something I shouldn't have said. I unloaded on my friend in a way that I shouldn't have. She just says, okay, here it is. What a beautiful painting. What a beautiful job you've done. And here we are. Let's take the next step and let's keep moving forward. There's no judgment. You know, in this talk I was listening to with Ram Dass, He goes on to say that we're taught from, you know, he brings in the psychological lens as well because of his background. And he says we're taught from childhood, we're socially conditioned to judge and to separate. And he says, but think about what it's like to go for a walk in the woods. Do you judge the trees? Well, this tree is fat and that one's a little bit thinner. This one is crooked. That one's definitely straight. I like this tree better than that tree. No, we appreciate the tree for what it is. And that's what Divine Mother does with each one of us. And all that exists within us, everything that we have to bring to Divine Mother is beautiful. It's all beautiful. And that's just, it's us remembering that and knowing that. And again, that's not an excuse to be complacent. That's where the willingness comes in, which is such a perfect affirmation today. Different than willpower, because it's not stalwart determination and let me fight with everything I have. It's actually Divine Mother inviting us to relax and accept, but to keep offering ourselves up. You don't have to offer with such tension and hide and fear. You're already here. Just willingly let go. Just willingly relax into that state of consciousness to know that I'm near with you. And that's the same thing that we can do. You know, last year at Guru Day, Sai Ganesh was talking about Babaji. So last year, several speakers took a different guru to speak about. And this has always stuck with me. He spoke about how, obviously, many of us who have read the autobiography of a yogi and are familiar with Babaji, we know that he reveals himself to the disciple when the disciple is in need, that he picks and chooses who he can reveal himself to. And so many of us, I mean, I don't know about you, but he's never appeared to me in any of my meditations or in my apartment. And so I always used to think, oh, that's not, then he hasn't revealed himself to me. That's just fine. I never thought anything of it. And then Sai Ganesh said, Babaji has chosen all of us. He's revealed himself to all of us because we know who he is. We've read the autobiography. He's chosen to allow us to feel that vibration and that energy. We are already there. We're already the chosen ones. We already have everything we need within us. There's nothing else that we need to, there's no pretending that's left to do. We've already been loved. We've already been chosen and selected simply by our willingness to step up and to choose. And again, to come back to where I was starting with this, you know, everything within us is beautiful. Even those places that are dark, if we allow them, even those foibles and those darknesses, if we allow the light to shine on them, that's the only way that we can transform them. I grew up in Southern California, very close to the ocean, about a mile from the ocean. And so I spent my adolescence there. And so I would spend a lot of time on my own. We had a path from where my parents live down to the beach. So even before I could drive, I could walk down to the beach. And I would go early in the morning when no one was there and it was a stormy day and the weather was cold and gray and the ocean was beautiful. And I could walk down on a beautiful sunny day when the ocean is sparkling and glistening. And it was beautiful. In times of storms and crashing waves, those were always my favorite. I feel like I've had a lot of lifetimes at the helm of a ship because that idea of just being blasted by the ocean and its waves, it's always something that's appealed to me. And I used to love going and sitting on the ocean in the middle of a storm. We moved to Southern California, and about 5 years later, we had an El Nino year, so there were a lot of storms that year, and I remember spending a lot of time on the beach there. And what I realized in the midst of that is whether the ocean was calm and perfectly still and glistening in the sun, whether it was tumultuous and crashing all around, it was still beautiful. There was beauty in it. And that's what we get to bring to the divine every single day, everything that we are. And the act of faith comes into play with the immense courage that it takes to stand in front of Divine Mother and offer all of ourselves to her. The crashing waves of the times when we feel the tumultuous storms and the beauty and the glistening and the sparkling of the times that we're reflecting the sun's light. All of it can be given and offered to the divine. In that fire ceremony, in that ceremony of transformation, everything that the light touches, or all anything that is darkness that the light touches, it turns to light. Right? This is what Yogananda tells us. A room can be in darkness for hundreds of years. The moment that you turn on the light, the darkness dissipates. And that's true within us as well. That's our own reality. So if we hide and we tuck those parts of ourselves, those human foibles, away from the divine, and we just cover them up and pretend that they're not there, if we're too ashamed to show them to the divine, if we're too ashamed to stand in front of ourselves with all our humanity, just as Ram Dass said, I realized that embracing my divinity did not mean denying my humanity, but that in acceptance of my humanity, acceptance of who I am, where I'm standing right now, that I could find God more deeply, that I could embrace my reality more completely. And that's what Swami Kriyananda tells us when he was asked what his favorite yoga pose was. He said, standing on your own 2 feet, or what the best yoga pose was, I think is the correct words. He said, standing on your own 2 feet, to stand where we are and to offer ourselves. And what a beautiful gift that we've been given in order to do that. Because to offer ourselves in that fire ceremony of devotion, to give everything into the light, it was such a perfect chant that Saranya started with today. Just as a fire may burn a whole forest, burn to the root my desires. We began with the fire ceremony. We have fire. The reading is full of fire. And here we are at the fire ceremony of our own self-offering. Yagya, giving everything that we have into the divine. And Paramahansa Yogananda tells us that Kriya Yoga, he says, there's one of my favorite lines from the chapter on Kriya Yoga in the autobiography. Let me see if I can pull it all perfectly. I'll get it hopefully close enough. Let me see if it will come. He says that Kriya Yoga is the real fire rite. And then he goes on to say that the practice of Kriya Yoga, or any meditation, if you're not yet a Kriyaban and you're on that road, any meditation that we're doing, any practice of sadhana that we're doing, where we're watching the breath and we're drawing energy and we're drawing on that energy, he says that Kriya Yoga allows us to cast the labyrinth of human longings into the monotheic bonfire of an unparalleled God. Let me say it one more time. Kriya Yoga allows us to cast the labyrinth of human desires into the monotheic bonfire of the unparalleled God. Well, what a promise is that? How does that vritti of anger compare to the monotheic bonfire of an unparalleled God? There is nothing in us that is too big that God's light cannot overcome it. It's simply our ability to have the faith to take that first step, to dip our toe in and then our ankles and slowly walk in until we're just diving into that pool of divine love. Because again, it's our own social constructs. It's our own delusion that's even allowing us to believe for a moment that we're separate. We're already there. And any of those little attachments that we're holding on to, any of those things that we're too ashamed to bring to the divine, our angers, our foibles, our weaknesses, our fears, they're already there. They cannot stand up against the great strength and the power of that bonfire, the monotheic bonfire of an unparalleled God. And in essence, this is what we do in every breath of meditation that we take. Even in our Hung Sa practice, we're concentrating at the point between the eyebrows, and as the energy in us rises and falls with the breath, our concentration stays right here, burned in the bonfire of our devotion to the divine. Nothing else matters. Nothing else could compare to the unparalleled God. And if we have the faith, the willingness to open our hearts, to know that to be true, then the divine is ours already. Swami Kriyananda, in his commentaries on Patanjali, with the second sutra, Yoga's Chitta Vritti Nirodh, he talks about that term neutralization, the neutralization of the vortices of feeling, or the vrittis, the whirlpools of feeling. And the very first thing that he says in this commentary is he plays with the semantics of, do we achieve neutralization of feeling, or do we attain neutralization of feeling? And it seems, again, you know, we could look at that and say, what's the difference? It's, you know, willpower and willingness, achieve, attain. What's the semantical difference there? What's the slight variation? And he says that when we achieve, we allow even the slightest little gap for the ego to step in and say, well, I'm achieving something that's outside of myself. But to attain is to pull back the layers and to know that it is ours already. And that's where we're standing, to have the faith, the immense courage that it takes to stand in front of the divine. So here I am. Everything I am, every little part of me, I give it all into your light. I give it all to you. Help transform me. That's where we got with the end of that affirmation. I love that affirmation because he says, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your help. Here I am standing in front of you. Let this bonfire of my devotion, as my breath rises and falls, as the energy pulls me in all of these different directions, I will keep my attention and my focus right here at the point between the eyebrows. The bonfire of my devotion will give everything into the divine. And to come full circle to where we began, what's so powerful about this quote, "And if in this thy faint heart fails, bring me thy failures," is the tenderness and the humanness of it, the love of that. Because we read every week in the Festival of Light that the promise has been given. The divine light returning to earth shows us that we are the sons of God. But what does that mean to stand here and affirm that I am a son of God when I feel ashamed of that little slip-up that I had, or that anger, or these emotions and foibles that are pulling on me? How do I bridge that distance? How can I jump through that chasm? Well, this is what our reading gives us. Divine Mother, she reaches down and picks us up with all of that human love, with all of the love and tenderness of the heart that we're reaching up with, and she showers us with that divine grace and that divine love. And that's what we hear. Cling to me with your heart and your mind and your soul. This is how Krishna begins. But if your thoughts droop, even for a moment, despair not, with an exclamation point. He says, worship me. He goes on to say, with willingness, worship me. And if in this you can't keep your thoughts always on me, striving for me, bringing your willingness, your devotion, then work for me. Toil in works that are good for me. No matter what we are doing in that space of inner communion, in our desire and our longing and our worship for the divine, in our work in daily life, no matter what we're doing, Divine Mother says, come, bring yourselves to me. And if in this thy faint heart fails, bring me thy failures. There's nowhere to run. No matter what you do, no matter what state of consciousness you find yourself in, Divine Mother is inviting you in to curl up in her arms, to be held and to be loved in that space. There's nowhere for us to go but into that all-encompassing, all-consuming fire of divine love. Work for me, love me, worship me. It's exactly what this beautiful chant that Saranya started with today. How shall I love thee? How shall I seek thee? How shall I worship thee? How shall I serve thee? Here we are in every single moment, just loving the divine, calling upon her. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, the Divine Mother is right there. She's asking us to hold her so closely. And we get to just be the little chela, to curl up in her arms, to be held, to be loved. There is no distance. There's nothing but that one reality that we are one with the divine. There's nothing but that true reality of pure love. You are expressions of that love. We are all expressions of that love. And so we get to live that reality. We turn away, you know, again, there's so many quotes from the, I don't have the time to just read the festival, but luckily we'll get to read it in just a minute here. So many lines from the festival that lead us to this. Long we feared to face your love, lest our emptiness that it proved. We're so afraid to offer everything we have, but the act of faith, greatest act that we can give, is our faith in God. It's our faith in Divine Mother. I have complete faith in you. I know that you will be with me no matter the circumstance. And when we're there, the little child reaching up, Divine Mother can't help but scoop us up in her arms. God bless you.
This is one of Swami Kriyananda's more lighthearted songs, and he specifically recommended it for developing an attitude of saying yes to life. It is extremely sing-alongable, which if you are in person, we will do quietly behind our masks, but you can say yes within your hearts as loudly as you like. When you come from Napoli, la 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 la, life is long and joy is free, la 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 la. Can't you hear the music say la 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 la? Dance your troubles all away, la 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 la. When you come to Napoli, la 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 la, sing this happy song with me, la 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 la. La 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 la